Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. I'd like to kind of welcome you here and a couple of announcements to kind of get us started this morning. Remember, our offering boxes are in the lobby. If you'd like to give, we're not going to be passing an offering plate during the service, and so would encourage you to make use of those. Also, this week, council meeting is on Tuesday evening with the various meetings before that, and so it's there in your bulletin, so keep that in mind as things move forward. A couple of things in our future. This afternoon, there's going to be a Singspiration. And we're going to get a little highlight this morning. Janie Terwilliger is going to have special music for us this morning here in a little bit. And she'll be part of that concert. And Tim Noble and everybody else involved with that. Really excited about that. Invite you back for that. It's going to be a great afternoon. Looking forward to that. Next Sunday, at 2:30 in the afternoon, we're going to have the Eastern District Missionary Rally. And at that point, our general conference, our denominational coordinator slash director for Global Reach, our missions, will be here and giving us an update on what's happening in our mission across the world. There's a lot going on in Haiti and with all the political unrest and with the COVID that's really bad in Brazil and also in Bangladesh and India and the various things that are going on. He's going to be here to kind of give us an update on all of that. He's got a bunch of slides and looking forward to that. That's next Sunday afternoon beginning at 2:30. Then, the end of the month on August 20th to the 22nd, it's a Friday through Sunday, we're having a couples retreat. It'll be at church camp. It's for couples. No kids, just couples. And what it's for is to just kind of take a time out, to be able to concentrate on our relationships as couples and or moms and dads, but to be able to have some time to really reconnect with one another. Now, in order to do that, we're going to kind of, primitive isn't the right word, but we're going to go camping. We'll be in tents and sleeping that way. You will have access to showers and flush toilets. Those will be there. But it's kind of really focus on those things. Get rid of the phones, get rid of the television, get rid of the internet, and just be a couple for a weekend. It begins Friday evening and goes through Sunday about 1 o'clock. And so would encourage you to give that some thought. If you're interested in that, I have all the details for that. If you want to contact me and we can coordinate that, and you can sign up right until the last moment for that. But a couples weekend, I'm really excited about it. Our speaker this year is going to be Pastor Kevin King and his wife Kelly. And so just some really great things happening at that time. And so keep that in mind. And if you're interested, let me know. The last thing that I have is we have a softball team, and the softball team is headed into our end-of-the-season tournament. We begin tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and we'll be at the field there by, it just flew out of my head, right there by Foursquare. There you go. I knew somebody would help me out. Foursquare Church, and looking forward to that. We'll begin the tournament. If we win tomorrow night, then we'll play Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. And if we lose, we'll play Tuesday night at 6:15, I believe. And so how will we let you know? Well, Facebook's probably the best way to do that, or text me, and we'll let you know. Now, a couple of weeks ago, there was a tournament. And it's an all-nighter. It's one of those ones that start in the evening. I think the first game for the team was at 9 o'clock, and then it just goes. And you're just scheduled, and it's long, and no, I did not play. I have a hard time getting through a regular game, let alone one at 2 o'clock in the morning or some incredible thing like that. But a number of our guys, and you see that, are up there. These are the guys that played, and they have a presentation. And John, acres is going to come up right now. Yeah. Look at the size of that pup. I'll stand up. No. Awesome. Yeah. This is Worcester Slow Pitch, all-nighter. They got runner-up, second place. How many teams were there? Just five teams. And the other ones did not play as well as we did. Yeah. That's awesome. Now what, 6 years ago, we won the tournament, I believe. And that trophy is right out there in the entranceway, and this one will go right beside it. Thanks, guys, so much. It's awesome. The softball team is just great. And as we continue to mourn this morning, just remember throughout our world the COVID virus with its various D strains, L strains, whatever it all happens to be, continues to inflict on people, and we really want to keep that as a matter of prayer as we go forward. There's been so many within our congregation as we celebrated last week that have lost loved ones that we need to be in continuing prayer for that. And we just want to come together as a body of Christ and hold these folks up. It's very difficult. This virus is rather nasty. And so we want to keep that in mind. Any other prayer requests or praises this morning?
My great nephew was in the hospital twice when they finally determined he's got pneumonia. He coughed so hard he broke.
Who said?
Richard Hahn.
Oh, Richard Hahn. Dick Hahn?
No.
Oh, Richard Hahn. Okay, different family. Richard Hahn. He's diagnosed as having pneumonia. He's been coughing, actually injured ribs because of his coughing, and so we want to keep him in our prayers. And I think we have some good news. Yeah. For those on the live stream, Lori Lee had her baby, a little baby boy, Henry Allen. And they're gonna call the little guy Hank. And so definitely a celebration there. We have been waiting. It seems like it's been 9 months. And just congratulations to Lori and to John and to the family there. Oh, that's exciting. Any others? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father and our God, it's with great joy that we stand before you today, just celebrating all that you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we just praise you for this little guy. And we ask, Lord, that your hand would be upon Hank, just enable him to grow and develop. And we're so thankful for all you're doing, and be with Lori, that she would bounce back quickly as well. And just unite them as a family, both with Lori and John, and also the greater family throughout. Because, Lord, it takes all of them working together to be able to raise this little one. And Lord, we're just so thankful, and we praise you for that. And Lord, we also think in the world in which we live, there's a lot of difficulties. And the virus is running rampant, and Lord, it's touching and inflicting, and the various variants that are going on. I don't understand it all, God, but I know you do. And so I just ask, Lord, that you would intervene and allow people to overcome. Lord, that you would build up immune systems and assist us that we might, put this virus in the past. That would be so awesome. But Lord, we ask that you would touch and bring healing to not only those within our city, our state, our country, but throughout the world. And there are so many places where modern medicine isn't able to be, and people are suffering. And we just ask that you would touch and bring healing. Lord, we just ask that you would walk with us as a congregation. And Lord, it's exciting, some of the things that you're doing. And Lord, for this inspiration this afternoon, we want to lift your name high. And Lord, just work through that and touch hearts and give strength to people. And walk with us in our daily lives and the places that we go and the things that we do, that others would be able to see you and us and be drawn to you. We just want to be your ambassadors, Lord. So come and be with your people. Inhabit our praise and inhabit our hearts, Lord, and continue to spur us on to what you have for us in the future. We just are so thankful for what you're doing. Lord, continue to walk with us. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing a couple of songs. Would invite you to stand as we sing.
We'll begin with Spirit of the Living God. Pray that he descends upon our hearts.
Teach me how to cling. Oh, let me.
seek thee, and let me find. Teach me to feel that thou art always nigh. Teach me thy struggles of the soul to bear, to check the rising doubt, the rebel sigh. Teach me thy patience of unanswered prayer. Teach me to love thee as the angels love. One holy passion filling all my frame, the baptism of the heaven descended dove, my heart an altar and thy love the flame.
Maybe see.
We're going to change the order just a smidgen this morning. We're going to have the kids come down for the children's sermon, and then I'm going to kind of read the scripture as part of the sermon this morning. And so we'll have the kids, and then Janie is going to sing, and then we'll do that. So come on down. Isn't this awesome? Go, guys! Now, I know you know what this is. It's a trophy, right? Why do you get trophies?
For winning.
Yeah, for when you do things really well. Like we have the Olympics going on. And what... Oh, I'm sorry. Howdy. And what do you get if you win at the Olympics? What do you get? You get a medal. And what are the three medals you get? Gold, yep, silver, and bronze. Yeah, it's for first, second, and third place for being the best in the world. Now, this trophy is for almost the best in the world. We were really close, but the guys played really great that night and had a wonderful time. And we get a reward for doing well. You see, God loves us, and he says, you know what? There actually is a reward for us. And he said that reward, when we know him as Savior, is we get to spend eternity with him. And it says the streets are going to be made of gold. Now, an Olympic world medal is made from gold, and gold is going to be dirt in heaven. It's going to be that cool. It's going to be the greatest of the great. Everything's going to be just wonderful. Now, we know that. So while we're here, sometimes we do things and we don't get rewarded. And sometimes that happens. But God knows everything that happens. And he said, you will be rewarded for this life. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we know we have a reward with you and we get to spend eternity. And that's just really cool. And we just ask, God, that you would help us to live our lives here, to kind of reflect your love to other people. And Lord, I know the adults, we're going to be talking about some of the baggage that we carry and how we need to set that aside. So help us to be able to follow you and to be able to do those things. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Jim's at the back, or you can follow Carol. Both ways work.
an awesome presence of the Holy Spirit. I see His countenance.
He is here.
Our scripture for this morning has been taken from the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 31 and 32. But before I read it, I just want to share a couple of things. This morning, I titled my sermon, Let It Go. I didn't realize when I titled it that, but people can get a lot of different interpretations of that. And one of the things that bounced back after I let a few folks know that I titled it Let It Go was the movie Frozen and Let It Go. And that's not at all what we're going to talk about today. So just kind of get that out of your mind. Just acknowledge it, you know, and just push it off a cliff somewhere. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as a human being, acknowledging that we do have sinful desires within our hearts. And Lord, I even know that I often choose to stir up those bad attributes in and out of my life. And Lord, we just ask that you would show us how to flee these evil attributes and replace them with more of your qualities. Allow me to show others what Jesus Christ looks like and how to effectively seek his guidance and help with my baggage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32 are kind of a list, and so let's walk down through that this morning. It begins and says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, when I was in college, things were pretty tight. I was a non-traditional student in college, and kind of when I got there, my parents sat me down and they said, if you want to go to college, we're behind you 100%. We love you. We'll do what we can. But let me tell you a secret about room board and tuition. Probably not going to be much. You're going to need to be able to figure that out. Now, when you come home, we can load you up, but with groceries and that kind of a thing, but this is pretty much, you're going to have to be able to do that. And I was non-traditional. I'd been out of school for a number of years. I had some money in the bank, and so felt pretty confident going to college. Till I got there. And things got pretty tight, and 2 years in, things were very tight, and my wife can attest to some of the stories that occurred. But it was right about that time when my nest egg was very small, looked like a robin's egg, and wasn't much to go on. I had a roommate that we had an apartment that we shared together, and he came to me and he said, look, I've been asked to be in a wedding in Spokane, Washington. I said, awesome. Oh, that'll be a great getaway. He said, yeah, it will be. I'm really looking forward to it. I told him that I was going to go. I only have one problem and it's a little one and maybe you can help me out. And I said, sure, whatever you need. He said, the ticket's $280 and I don't have it. And he said, I really need to go. And we had pretty good relationship. We were good friends. We shared pretty much our lives with each other. And I knew he really needed to go. He needed to get away. And I had that nest egg and there was exactly $300 in that nest egg. And he promised me he was going to pay it back. And I said, no problem. I can float you alone. We can make this work. We're roommates. I know where you sleep. It was across the hall. And so I withdrew the money and I gave it to him, and he went to Spokane. He came back and wonderful stories about all the great things. It was really good. Lifted up his spirits and really helped him at a tough time in his life. And he was going to pay me back, and it was so much a week and that kind of a thing. And we had some odd jobs and things that we did, and so it shouldn't have been an issue, except that other things happened and his car got mushed a little bit, and there was some repairs, and there was this, there was that, and then tuition was due. And the next thing you know, some time had kind of gone by, and he still owed me the money. So I went and did what you're supposed to do. I went and talked to him again, and we kind of revitalized and pulled it back, and we're going to get this taken care of, no problem, except it just never happened. And to be truthful, I got a little bit perturbed at him. I saw him taking his girlfriend out on dates when he should have been giving that money to me. I saw him sometimes he would get ice cream. You don't need ice cream. It's not even, is it really part of the four food groups anyway? It's mostly sugar. You don't need that. Why are you doing that? And I was permitting this to fester and well up within me, because really I didn't have the money. I had to go out and get extra jobs cleaning people's yards and helping out in ways like that, because I had tuition bills that came due, and I had a car that needed problems, and there was this wonderful young lady that I had started dating, and she was really cute and I liked to hang out with her. And sometimes that took some money, and you'd get real creative on dates, man. Can only study so much. But my roommate gave me nothing. And bitterness began to well up. Sometimes in our lives, stuff happens and we lay good plans. And sometimes we trust other folks and we put our confidence in other folks. And sometimes they rise up and sometimes they don't. And my mind began to run down the road on what I could do, because I didn't want to have to suffer, because he owed me the money. Show me the money. He didn't have any. He just didn't have any. Some things happened that were out of his control. He couldn't pay me back. So your mind begins to think, what can I do to get him to pay me back? All kinds of things began to come across my mind that pastors shouldn't have come across their mind, because I wanted my money, because I needed it. I was a student too. I needed it. And I felt this welling up within me, and I went to God and I said, you know, tell me what to do. Or better yet, tell him what to do. That would solve my problem if he would just step up to the plate. And God said, you got to forgive him. I said, yeah, right. He didn't ask. I can tell you how to ask for forgiveness. It's like $300. I'll take a check. And God said, you have to forgive him. And I said, I don't want to. He said, yeah, I know that. You still need to forgive him. You see, so often we as individuals, we travel around with this baggage, with the stuff that has happened to us in our lives. And you know what the truth of the matter is? It wasn't bothering him too much. Maybe not at all. And actually, when I began to look at it, I realized that he probably forgot all about it, because it was in the past and time had gone by. And I didn't forget. I knew he still owed me the money. Even when my life was kind of back on track and I was able to kind of get things and work up a new budget, and no, I could have still used the money, but it wasn't going to stop the world from revolving. And I realized that as God told me that I needed to forgive him, that he didn't have a problem. My friend, I'm the only one that seemingly had a problem. And I told God, I was just honest with him. I said, you're nuts. I said, I'm not letting this go. Because this is huge. This isn't one of those, I got ripped off $10 and had to pay twice to go see a movie. It wasn't one of those things where someone took advantage of me. We're talking it was $300, and $300 at my time, in my day, when I was going to college, it might as well have been $1 million. I mean, it took me a long time to get that. And I said, God, it's not going to happen. See, sometimes our baggage wells up within us and it begins to interfere in our relationship with the God that loves us. And God was telling me there's an issue here that you need to deal with. And I was telling him, find another issue. And the war began to be waged. Now, I'm happy to say this morning, I lost. I didn't get a trophy. But I did get the reward. Eventually, I was able to forgive. So many times we walk around and carry this baggage from years of mistakes and hurt, pain, bad choices. And God doesn't condemn us. He woos us. He says, come. Come a little closer. Let Jesus take care of that. Allow the Holy Spirit to put that healing balm upon our hearts to give us strength, to be able to rise up, to do the things that He asks of us, to allow us the privilege of setting aside that bitterness and the anger that comes with it, to set that aside and allow God to heal our hearts. This morning, I've got three things. And I just want to walk through them from these verses to kind of help us to be able to do that. And in those days, these helped me quite a bit. The first of those in letting it go, letting the baggage go from our lives, is we need to know what the issue was. In order to let it go, we've got to identify it. You know, and we look down through the list that's given to us in Ephesians 4:31. There's bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander and malice and unforgiveness. And that's just the starting for the list. But all of these things play into it. And oftentimes it is these things that begin to fester within us when we withhold and we hang on to things that cause us pain. Now, I want to be honest with you. We have to deal with our past. We can't just say, oh, well, it never happened, push it aside and move on. That's not what we're talking about, because when we do that, it will come back and bite us 100% of the time. It might be days, it might be weeks, months, it might be years, even decades, but it will come back to bite us, because when we push it down, we're not dealing with it and it festers within us, and at some point it will come bubbling up and overwhelm our lives. I'm not saying to do that. I'm saying that we need to work through those things. We need to work through the bitterness, the anger, the rage. What's causing it? To be able to take the time to evaluate, to be able to say, what is it that's dragging me down? What is it that's stopping up my relationship with the God that loves me? You know, to be able to stop and say, God, what is it? And allow Him the opportunity to speak. Because sometimes our temper gets short. Sometimes, as my wife says, you get grouchy. Sometimes it's those things in life as we're trying to overcome, and sometimes we shove them aside and they come back and they haunt us. And we don't even realize what they are sometimes. In the situation with my friend, I knew what it was. I was unwilling to deal with it, but I knew what it was. And it wasn't until some of these things that are listed there in the 31st verse, the bitterness began to become part of me, that anger that always seemed to be there, even when I would win tournaments, even when things went my way, there was that anger that was riding just below the surface. I could keep it pushed down, but I knew that it was there. We need to be able to identify what the issue is. What is it that's clogging up the world in which we live. To take that time to stand before the Lord and say, what's going on? What's happened? To give Him permission to speak into our hearts and our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to do its work and say, yeah, you got a problem over here. You know, I have found the Holy Spirit to be such a wonderful, sweet thing. It's kind of like a friend of mine who sent his wife and three daughters to church every Sunday morning. Finally, the oldest daughter got to the place. She crawled up on the bed one Sunday morning, and her mother said, it's time to go. And her dad said, you know, you need to be going to church. And she looked at her daddy and said, God's not that big a deal. I'll stay here with you. The surprise in the congregation when he walked through the door that Sunday morning. He wasn't spit-shined. His hair wasn't perfect. But by golly, he got changed and got to church because the Holy Spirit whispered in his ear through his daughter, how important is God? We need to be able to listen to God as He speaks to us and give Him permission to speak to our hearts and to our lives. It's unfortunate that we live in this world and there's so many stigmas attached to so many different things. And we as Christians should know that we're not in this alone. And that we come together and we worship on Sunday morning as a body of believers because we need one another. And sometimes as we sit with one another, we gain that permission to speak into the lives and the hearts of those that are around us. Those relationships come to the point where we can put a hand on the shoulder and we can say, look, I find myself being angry all the time. Do you know anything in my life that might be causing that? And allow our friends, our trusted advisors, to be able to speak into our hearts and into our lives. To give them the opportunity to search God's Word and is there something in here that needs to be brought to the surface and dealt with? Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction. In the end, you will be wise. Proverbs 20:18 says, plans are established by seeking advice. We need to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit, as well as those around us, speak into our hearts that we might be able to know and identify what the issue is, what baggage there is that we're carrying. And then once we identify and we know what that is, you have to bring that into the light. I don't know about you, but it's really easy to hide stuff. Or at least it seems that way. And even sometimes when we talk with a friend and they speak into our lives and they say, hey, here's an area maybe that you're dealing with, but we're just unwilling to bring it into the light. We're unwilling to allow it to be exposed. We're unwilling because we really don't want to deal with it. And if I keep it hidden, I don't have to admit there's a problem. And if I don't have to admit it's a problem, then I don't have to work on a solution and I can still be mad because it's 300 bucks. And so often we do that and we hold on to the bitterness rather than to let it go. And so I held on. Now, I was fortunate nobody else knew that I had loaned him the money. He did. And so I could push it down because nobody knew. And knowing that it was causing me some struggle, I didn't want to forgive because I wanted to hold on to that. And if it made me bitter, it was his fault. It's not my fault. It's his. If he asked for forgiveness, I'd talk about it. We could work up a deal. But he didn't ask. So I'm not forgiving. And then there was all these those times I said, well, I've forgiven him for doing that, but he hasn't come to me, so we haven't reconciled on that. And so I can still hold it against him, but I forgave. No, we just get into semantics and words and round and round and round we go. We need to be willing to bring it into the light. I don't want to do that. I didn't want to have that pain come up and bite me again, because there's the chance that he would look at me and say, sorry. Bummer to be you. Shucks, look at how much time has passed. It really doesn't even matter, does it? If we're really going to let it go, we have to bring it into the light. 1 John 1, verses 6 through 9, it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all righteousness. We need to understand that in order to be forgiven, we have to be willing to forgive. And in our relationship with God, we're willing to accept his forgiveness. And in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our trash as we forgive those who pass trash against us. However you want to interpret it, it all works and says the same thing. God says he's willing to forgive us. He offers us forgiveness. If we accept it in turn, he says, then forgive others as you've been forgiven. Believe me, I've done way worse things against God than alone. And God began to say, look, you've got to deal with this. You're not going to be able to be the person that God wants me to be unless I deal with this and bring it out into the light. And I said, I don't want to. Because if I bring it out in the light, I've got to forgive him. And if I forgive him, he's liable to say thank you. I don't want him to say thank you. I want him to give me $300. I don't need his platitudes. I need his pennies. And God began to work with my heart. And he said, Arnie, look what this is doing to you. I said, it's not doing anything, God. He said, then why are you fighting with me? Oh, I said, but it hurts. He goes, yeah. He said, I know. Spikes in my hands and feet. I remember. Well, yeah. I said, I really need to forgive him. He said, yeah, this is becoming a big deal. You need to forgive him. And I said, okay. I'll forgive him. He said, no, you're not getting away with that. I said, what do you mean? He said, you need to tell him you forgive him. Really? He needs to know. He said, no, he doesn't care. This isn't about him. This is about you. You need to say it. And you need to say it out loud. And you need to say it to him. And I'm like, Have you caught a whiff of my bank account lately? And you know what he said? Yeah. He said, I told you I'll take care of you. This isn't about that. This is about you and your friend. It's about your anger, your bitterness, your malice. So you need to let go of that. It's going to tear you up. And I said, but if I let go of it, I won't get it back. And God looked at me and he said, yep. He said, do you need it? I'm like, yes. He said, how big's your God? Is he bigger than $300? He doesn't play fair. And I said, I'll do my best. He said, yeah, you will. Get it done. You see, the third thing I want to talk about this morning, make it happen, that if we're really going to let go of the baggage, we've got to trust the process. I had to be willing to go and tell them that, look, this has been bothering me for, wow, at this time it was almost a year went by. And I said, I need to tell you about when you borrowed the money to go to the wedding. And he just looked at me. And I'm like, no, it's not that. I need to tell you that you don't need to pay it back. God's taking care of it. And we're good. And I'm going to put it aside and it's just done. It's over. I said, we're good. He said, well, but I can. I'm like, please don't pay me back. I don't think this was a lesson for you anyway. I think this was a lesson for me. And that my then $300. And I just have to trust the God that loves me. And you know what? I'm going to do that. And if in the past year you've felt a little bit of a up between us, that was my fault. I'm tearing it down. And we're good. And he looked at me and he looked in my eyes and he said, you really mean that, don't you? And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. I said, and again, this isn't about you. I need to, but it's for me. And God and I have been talking about this, and he told me that my God's way bigger than $300, and that he'll take care of it. And I don't know exactly how he's going to pull out, but I know he's going to do just that. And we finished the conversation, and he was still looking at me kind of weird when I left, but you know, we're still friends even today. But I don't know if we would have been friends today had I not gone through that process. And in going through that process, yeah, there was anger, there was bitterness, and there's probably a little bit of greed just kind of floating around there that needed dealt with as well. And God says, who are you going to trust? You're going to trust your bank account, or you're going to trust him? And I said, I want to trust you. And he said, well, this is step one. There's been a lot of steps since, and we continue to work and we continue to walk together, and there's just some amazing things that have happened. But we need to understand that there's baggage in our lives, and when that baggage causes us problems, it's time to set it aside. It's time to give it to God and allow him to take care of it. And sometimes, and I would say most of the time, if not all of the time, that we need to identify what it is, we need to bring it into the light so that it is dealt with, that we might move on. I was trying to think of an illustration to really put it forward, and I struggled, but all that I've come up with is within our bodies and how they work. And I know that there's certain things. I'm 59 years old and my body's starting to age. I'm a long time from old. You know, don't be offended. But it's begun. And I know there's certain things that if I put them in my body, there's going to be responses that my body has. If I eat too much sugar, I almost get the shakes. Because I don't eat a lot of sugar. And boy, when I do, I have to go run around the house 3 or 4 times, but if I do, then my hips hurt. We try and work it out, but I know there's going to be a response. And probably what works most is there are certain things that when I eat them, they slow my digestive tract down. And if you know what happens when your digestive tract slows down, well, let's just say it gets clogged up. And when I'm not doing the right thing, things don't flow through and I get very uncomfortable and my body responds in ways I don't want it to. And I've got to find a way to fix the problem that I might be able to become regular once again. In the same way in our lives and our connection with God, the things that we do have repercussions. And from time to time, we need to make sure we clear the baggage, that we address the difficulties in our lives to process through them that flow of the Holy Spirit from God to us might continue. For two more weeks, we're going to talk about baggage. But I wanted to start out and encourage you to, in this coming week, to take some time alone with God. Now, that can be driving down the road. It can be going for a walk. It can be while you're on the treadmill. It doesn't have to be anything in the corner on your knees. If that works for you, do that as well. All of those things. And just allow God the opportunity to quiet your mind and allow Him to speak to you, to let you know if there is baggage that needs to be dealt with. And then begin that process, if there is, of allowing those things to be unpacked, to be set aside, that God might use you to the fullest capacity that He can. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father and our God, we just ask that You would help us. It's been a tough year. We've had 18 months of kind of keeping things quiet. And just as we're allowed to express, and just as we're allowed to go and do things, they're coming out with more variants, and they're talking about masks, and they're talking about limiting our ability to move around. And it's not that it scares me, Lord. I don't want to go through that again. And Lord, in the midst of all of this and all the things that we've had to deal with, there's been things we've probably pressed down and haven't processed through. Lord, we need to deal with those things. We need You to bring them to mind, that we might truly forgive and be forgiven, that we truly might address those issues that are coming up, and this animosity or bitterness that we have, Lord, that we can be an individual that Your love flows freely through. So Lord, come and help us to do that this week, to identify it and begin the process of bringing it into light, that Lord, we would trust You for the process, and You would help us to walk through it. The pain and the sorrow that we need to go through, that we truly can know true joy in this life. We just need You to draw close to us. And so, Lord, we just ask that You would walk with us throughout this week, encourage and strengthen. But Lord, identify if there's baggage that we need to deal with. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for helping me take another step to let go. And while we do let go, let's ask God to breathe on us so we can journey with Him through it.
I want to stand.
To do and to
as we go from this place. May God's hand be upon us to give us strength. May we address the baggage in our lives, that we might set it aside and live freely with our God. Amen.